We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
They're here.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. Joined, as always, in Hour 3 by Casey Bubba at BDentric on the Twitter machine. Bubba, what is going on, my man?
Not much, my friend. Things are good. Things are very good. We're getting close to the All-Star break, which is going to be much, much appreciated. And, you know, everything's good. We got some golf. We got some baseball. We got some playoff basketball. Chris Paul's in the finals. Goodness gracious.
I know. Let's get the golf update real quick here. What's going on with betwixt our friends here?
Yeah, I know. That's what everybody tunes in for every week, the Hour 3 opener. But it's been great because it kind of got quiet there, Brooksy and Bryson. Not much happened last week. But right before round one started on Thursday at the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit, there was a report that came out that Bryson DeChambeau and his longtime caddy were immediately splitting ways. So he had to find a new caddy right away. And Brooks frickin' Koepka comes to Twitter and runs the world. All of a sudden sends out a tweet about how his caddy's his best friend. He wouldn't have enough life about him. And then he does another, like this longer tweet than that. I just summed it up. And then he goes, "Today's National Caddy Appreciation Day. Go hug your caddy." And like, I'm telling you, man, it's just like within seconds, I see the report and then there's like three tweets from Brooks, like simultaneously on Twitter. I'm like, this is freaking gold. So, yeah, then Bryson played like crap on Thursday. So he might miss the cut. We'll see. But it was beautiful. Brooks is doing Brooks things. He is living so rent free in Bryson's head. It's ridiculous. And I'm here for it. Like, this is why I love Brooks Koepka. People don't like him because he's kind of like a bully and stuff. I get it. But he's my kind of like sarcastic A that I just appreciate. Yeah. The snarkiness is just beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, Brooks sounds like a guy that like you started with him. It's mm-hmm. It's over for life. You know, like that's enemies for life. You know, there's no going back, I guess. So I do appreciate the trolling because like. I guess people call him a bully or whatever, but it's innocent trolling. It's goofy. Yeah. You know what
he's
I mean?
Not doing it to physically harm you. It's like you started right. I'm going to have fun with it.
He's just being a jerk. That's all it is, which is perfectly legal. I mean, it's a jerk move, but it's perfectly legal. But when we come back, we went over the futures rosters with the Welsh. We're going to go over the all-star starters with Bubba. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt. Holy
motherforking shirt boss.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bachman, joined by Casey Bubba. You can follow him on Twitter at PDentric. Bubba, tell everyone all the great stuff and things that you are doing all across the interwebs right now.
Well, thanks for that. We do the Line Star DFS podcast, both of us, 5 days a week. So that's tons and tons of fun. I have the Bench with Bubba podcast coming out twice a week. I had Draft Cheat and Kevin Hasting on this past week. So that was a lot of good information, a lot of good talk on those. I also have a PGA DFS show, as we talked about on here before. I do written content at rotoballer.com. Pretty soon I'll be writing for the Fantasy Black Book. I'm assuming show's going to have me back. I'm promoting it enough. I've only done 2 years in a row. I'm assuming I'll be there. There's probably more I'm forgetting. There's always something. I have at least 2 to 4 shows Monday through Friday that I'm out there somewhere with. So, yeah, just check me out on Twitter. You'll get all the good stuff right there.
There you go. So, lots going on. And today, we, as we're recording this, we found out who the All-Star starters are for the National League and the American League. We'll get bench players in the next couple days, and then they'll have the Twitter vote as well for the last guy on the roster. They've been doing that for a while. When did that start? It started a while ago.
I think it was
online voting first.
And yeah, then it was online first. Yep, online first. Then social media took over, like it's taken over everything else. So yeah, it was online at first, and now it's blown up.
But we got starters named here for you. So I don't know that there's too much arguing to be had here, but let's start in the American League, Bub. Salvi Perez is your starting catcher, 62% of the vote. The second highest vote getter was Martin Maldonado at 20%, and then Yasmani Grandal at 18%. So this was basically a landslide for Salvi, but I also think that he is the guy that deserved it anyway.
Yeah, there's no real arguments here. Salvi by a landslide, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, one of the few catchers that's playing every day because they'll DH him. First base, Vlad Jr., also a landslide, 75% of the vote, 15% for Yuli Gurriel, 10% for Jose Abreu. Abreu was really living off last year as far as that goes. Yuli is having a great year, but I mean, it's Vlad and it ain't close. So the voters got this one right too.
Yeah, not even close. This guy is going to be the runner-up in MVP to Shohei Ohtani, so he definitely deserves to be the starting first baseman.
The second base was a little closer here, and you're going to see this as a theme in the voting. Marcus Semien at 54%, Jose Altuve at 32%, DJ LeMahieu at 14%. But Semien, he has cooled down recently, but he was coming out like gangbusters from opening day and also kind of deserved this. Altuve's been great recently, so you can make the argument for Altuve, but I think Semien was probably the right call as well.
You could definitely make the argument for Altuve. His month of June was insane. Like, he had 13 home runs or so. He's hitting well over 300. Obviously, hit another grand slam on Thursday. That doesn't count for the voting, of course, but he's been great. Semien's awesome. Semien has gone 20-10 in the first half of the baseball season. Like, if he keeps this pace up, I don't think he will, but think 30 to 35 homers and 20 to 25 stolen bases or something. That's a monster season. So well-deserving for Marcus Semien.
The next guy on the list here, we go to third base, Rafael Devers, 61%. And here's where we see the trend. Another Astro coming in second at 22% for Alex Bregman.
I really should have banged the drum a little harder on the voting.
Yoan Moncada, 16%. But Devers, what do you think about him getting the nod at third?
I like it. Like, Bregman, I think he's deserving, but he also missed a lot of time with injury. Devers is having a monster year, so good for him. Like you said earlier, most of these are going to be pretty much like hard to argue. So Devers, good for him.
This is the closest vote in the first one coming in with, less than 50% here is at shortstop. Xander Bogaerts at 42%, barely nudged out Bo Bichette at 37%. Carlos Correa came in at 21%, because why wouldn't he? But I mean, you couldn't go wrong with Bogaerts or Bo Bichette here, right?
No, I probably would have had Bichette here, but Bogaerts is 100% fine, justifiable. No complaints at all. I guess it just proves that Canadian internet's a little slower and they couldn't get all the votes in. So
they got Vlad in.
Yeah, but that was easy. Vlad didn't need Canada's help on that one. Bichette.
That's true. Remember, like, didn't Alcides Escobar make like every shortstop all-star roster for a while because of people in Kansas City would just, you know, they had nothing else to do. It's just eat barbecue.
There was the year after they won the World Series. Like they had what, five or six all-stars get voted in. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, wasn't Alex Gordon a starter at that point? No, so
it's bad. It was bad.
Yeah, Alex Gordon, great player, but I don't know if he's an all-star starter. Maybe one or two years he was, but I deserve an all-star starter, I guess I should say. In the outfield, and this is where the percentages get real wonky because, you know, you have more outfielders to vote on, so they get broken up a little bit. But Mike Trout led all AL outfielders in votes. He got 19% of the vote there, 13% for Aaron Judge, Teoscar. So much for that slow internet in Canada theory, Bubba. 12% was third. Byron Buxton almost got in there. This was a, you know, go down to percentages vote between him and Byron Buxton, who's been banged up and out for a while. 12%. Michael Brantley, of course, an Astro, coming in fifth. But people in Houston apparently are voting. I mean, all they're doing is voting for their team to go to the All-Star game and, you know, waiting on that second pick for the Rockets. But this was a little bit closer, but Trout ain't going to play. So we're going to get, and neither is Buxton. So
Brantley will get in.
Brantley's probably going to be a starter by default.
Assuming that's how they're going to fill it by this. Yeah, he should be. So I think that'll check all the boxes on that one. Nothing to really worry about there. Kind of surprised Judge got in, but that's just the New York power. Like, he really hasn't had that great of a season. We'll talk about the designated hitter first, but I saved our picks we've made a little while ago so we can go over those when to see how close we were. But
nice.
Yeah, the outfield's a crapshoot. Like, I honestly wouldn't have had Teoscar's actually had a better year than I thought. I wouldn't have had Judge here, that's for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. And like you said, the DH, almost easy. It's Shohei at 63%, JD Martinez at 20%, Jordan Alvarez at 17%. So, there was just no question that Shohei was going to be in there. Now, will he survive the home run derby and actually be able to start? That's a question.
And Shohei home run derby in Colorado, I haven't tuned in to a few derbies in a while. I'm gonna want to watch that,
dude. The derby is the best part.
I know. It's usually like my excuse. We do so much work. It's like, okay, I have 3 nights of nothing to do. Like, what do you want to do?
Right. Exactly.
Like, it's usually my go to. Like, hey, I'll go play dad for like 3 nights. What do you want?
Yeah, that you know what, that makes sense. You know what, your logic is adding up to me a little bit more. But so let's go over our AL votes, and then when we come back, we'll go over the NL and the NL votes. But so you have them. Who did we each pick for the AL?
Because we made a group pick, so I took a screenshot of it. So for the AL, we had Vlad, we had Simeon, we had Devers, we had Bogarts, we had the infield. We had Salvi Perez, and we had Shohei. So we had the infield, the catcher, and the designated hitter. Yeah, all our outfield picks were different. All three. But see, this is justifiable, because we didn't pick Trout because he was hurt already. That was part of our logic. We took Mark Canha, who was having a great year.
Yes.
Adelis Garcia.
Yep.
And Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, I think those are strong picks. And so, I don't feel you know what? Those. I stand by those picks.
Yeah.
I stand by those picks, no doubt. I mean,
especially Canha and Adelis Tucker, you could, you know, okay, if you want Brantley or something, whatever.
Sure. But yeah, he's not even the leading Astro voter.
Exactly. You know, so. What a conspiracy.
Conspiracy, right. But I don't know. I think it's not bad. And out of, you know, the ones that we picked, I think the fans pretty much got it right for the most part in the AL, you know.
I think it just shows they listen to the show.
It's us, you know. The only thing we couldn't get was any outfielder at all. Yeah. But
so many more to pick from in the outfield.
Yeah, that's what we'll say. Too many to pick from. But we are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be doing the same thing for the NL side. NL side's a little different. I don't think we're going to be as accurate there, but stick with us. We'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
FanDuel.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Why the f*** is it called a...
In this league.
Because who could be scared of a...
In this league.
Yeah, just this nice bloke from down the road, isn't he?
What's wrong with you?
Hello, I'm...
In this league.
I've just moved in. My wife has got varicose veins.
I'm having a heart attack. I'm having a heart attack.
You're not having an heart attack.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports, joined by Casey Bubba at BDentric. We're talking about the all-star starters that were just picked as we're recording this a couple hours ago. So we're very interested to see who got picked and what the voting was like and all that good stuff. But if you would, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. We got all kinds of stuff for you. The Welsh, I know, is going to be doing another break this month. So I'm going to save up my shekels and get into that since while my luck is running hot, you know, just want a Wander helmet. So might as well get in some more stuff to be.
Hope you sold it after that debut.
I did not. I still have it. So I guess it's like Bitcoin, right? What is Bitcoin worth, a nickel now or something? Yeah. So
It's coming back. It's coming back. Don't worry.
It's coming back. Right. As is Wander. It's all coming back. So we'll be fine. But we have that for you. We got GroupMe rooms. We got live streams. We got ranks. I know the Welsh is going to be putting up his updated 500 minor top 500 minor leaguers list up on Monday. I will have brand new PPR, PPR Superflex, IDP Dynasty ranks for football for you on Monday as well. I'm also working on college fantasy football rankings. Those are just, you know, 130 schools, so they take forever. So I will get those done early this month as well. So please check it out if you would. We'd really appreciate it. But let's move on to the National League as far as the starters that were voted in, Bub. And we started catcher Buster Posey at 58% wins in, you know, sort of a landslide here. Yadier Molina, 25%. Wilson Contreras at 18%. So we both had Posey, didn't we?
Yes, we had Posey, and he deserves it. Like, this isn't even the homer in me. He's been outstanding this year. And the flip side, there really hasn't been a lot of good catching in the National League. So it was kind of an easy one to have Buster Posey get through there. And it's nice to see a little run in Posey once again.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, even me as a Giants, Dodgers, Padres, and Rockies hater, I mean, I'll vote for those guys if they deserve to be in the All-Star game. Well, maybe not Dodgers, but I'll vote for Posey. He's a nice guy. First base, Freddie Freeman is in there at 48%. Muncy with 34% and Anthony Rizzo at 18%. Not surprising to see Freddie get it, right? I mean, even if he, you know, wasn't playing well, which... You know, he wasn't playing well early in the season, but you look at his BABIP and it was a lot of bad luck in there. Now he's starting to really warm up. But, I mean, I think Freddie still deserved it, right?
Yeah, Freddie's well-deserving of it, especially as he's been heating up here of late. Going to have a monster second half. So he's well-deserving of this one. We were not close on this one, though, Bogman. Can you even guess who we picked?
I think, did I pick Goldie?
No, we picked Reese Hoskins.
Oh, Hoskins. Yeah.
He was having a great start to the year. His June's been horrific.
Yeah, that's what happens. You know, that's it. Because we did the vote like right when the vote opened.
We did it, right? June 3rd. My screenshot.
June 3rd. Okay. June 3rd. So
a month
ago, right? Yep. As of the date this is dropping. So a month ago. But yeah, I mean, not that surprising, but Hoskins is also one of those streaky guys, you know, where and he was on a bad streak in June, so not even in the top three voting. Second base, I was unbelievably shocked by this. Adam Frazier was your leading vote getter, which I'm not. Look, Adam Frazier deserves to be an all-star for sure. Leads the league in hits right now. but I was surprised that he actually got voted in. Another reason why maybe the voting isn't nearly as bad as it used to be. 47% for Frazier, 33% for Ozzy. Gavin Lux dragging in here at 20%. So I know that we did not have Adam Frazier. Did we have Ozzy? Was that our guy?
No, it was not.
Who was our guy?
Well, first off, I'm glad that the voting got Adam Frazier. I think that's outstanding.
He deserves it.
Well, it's like you said, at least because there's been so many years where it's like the fan voting sucks. Like we just need to do something else. But this at least shows it like the dude deserves it. So it was good. Now, who we had was a guy I think still deserves it, but he wasn't even in the conversation, is Ryan McMahon of the Rockies. So we were going with the hometown kick on that one, I think. Just didn't pan out very well.
Yeah, and you know, they'll get one all-star, the Rockies will, because the stupid Diamondbacks will get one all-star. Every team has one. But we'll see who it is. You know, I mean, honestly, it's probably going to be Marquez at this point, but who knows. But then we move over to third base, where Nolan Arenado is a starter, 40%, voting much closer in the NL. You know, the whole infield was landslides. Nolan Arenado, 40%, Justin Turner, 34%, Chris Bryant, 26%. We had Bryant, didn't we?
Yes, we had Chris Bryant, who was on fire, similar to Rhys Hoskins, has cooled off massively in the month of June. So he kind of went to the wayside on that one because I guess Chicago just kind of, you know, bleachers opened up. They started making their cup snakes and they forgot about voting. So it was all about St. Louis, who always – the Missouri people vote their people in big time. So.
They really do. They really, really do.
And in a way, you get Arenado back in Colorado as a starter, so it's fun.
Very true, very true. Yeah, and he had his first game back in Colorado today as we're recording this, and he got a standing O and everything from the 2,500 people that were in the stadium. You know, I mean, like Arizona has less than that, so I'm not making fun of anybody. It's just small crowds. Then we move on to shortstop, Fernando Tatis Jr. This is your landslide, 64%. Yep. Javier Baez, 19%. Brandon Crawford, 17%. We had Fernando, right?
Yes, we did. I remember we discussed possibly going with Baez or Crawford because they're having great seasons. We're like, nah, it's Tatis. It's easily Tatis, and it was.
Yeah. Even with the busted shoulder, I mean, yeah. It was definitely him. And then when you go to the outfield was, it was close, very, very close here, but Ronald Acuna, 21%. Now, as we're recording this, he got scratched from the game on Thursday with back tightness. I think he's had this a little bit this year. Hopefully this isn't anything long-term and impactful.
I believe he pinch ran a ninth on stolen base.
Okay, all right, so he'll be fine. 21%, Castellanos at 18%, Jesse Winker at 16%, so just missing the cut were two Dodgers, Mookie Betts at 13%, Chris Taylor at 7%, but I think that's exactly what we had, isn't it?
That is exactly what we had, Bogman. I'm very, very proud of that one, but yeah, it's really sad to see all these Dodgers becoming runner-ups. You know, the Giants have more all-star starters than the Dodgers do this year, so that's fitting for a first-place team. That's really good to see. But, the outfield, I'm actually happy to see Casty and Winker get in there. To get two Reds in there maybe was kind of a surprise to some, and I'm glad the voting got that right. So getting the two Reds and the Pirate player in the starting lineup is pretty, pretty cool to see.
Are you a sit-down-and-watch-the-All-Star game person, or is it, like, on in the background, or do you go out to dinner instead? Or, like, what do you do for the All-Star game? Anything in particular?
No, I'll either be gone or it'll be on in the background. It's one of those, like, again, I use those 3 days to kind of recharge the batteries, to per se. Like, I'll watch the highlights. I'll turn on MLB tonight, and I'll watch all the highlights of it and see what I missed. But and Twitter's great for that. If anything good happens, it'll be, like, tweeted 20,000 times. So I'll be good.
Right. Very, very true. And I think that, you know, look, we all know that Twitter can be brutal on occasion, right?
Just
like, It's not surprising to anybody, but, you know, I think with the voting getting better now, we did see, you know, Houston come in, try to come in swinging, and, you know, the whole city tried to vote their whole team into starters because, I mean, come on, Martin Maldonado was the second catcher voter. He's having a good year, but come on, man, like, what are we doing? You know, and then all the rest of those Astros were runner ups. And then we saw that a little bit with Toronto, too. Toronto voted a ton. But we didn't get like the landslide Kansas City, the landslide Yankees or Mets, or, you know, the big markets. When Adam Frazier is your starter at second, the big markets are no longer winning this. And I think it's pretty good, man. You know, I think it's at least better than it used to be when, because back in my day, Bub, before the internet was huge, you know, when you had to pay for CompuServe or AOL or whatever, you would vote at the ballpark, man. Yep. I remember in 98 when I was going to do a ton of games because I was 15, my buddy was 16, and we'd take his car, his dad had season tickets, we'd take his car on down to the ballpark. So I'd walk in, I'd grab an all-star slip, I'd vote for a bunch of Diamondbacks, and I'd drop it in the thing. Like, and that's what I do every single time, and that's where most of the votes were coming from actual real ballots that you hold in your hand. I don't even know if they make those anymore at the ballpark.
No, they don't.
Collectors got to get on collecting those, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I should go through my old boxes of crap. I guarantee you I have all-star game ballots somewhere that are probably worth some money.
Yeah, I remember doing the same thing as a kid. It's like grab a stack of them, go sit down, start poking holes in them. How many can I vote for the Giants before I have to go home type thing? And, you know, you try to make a couple, you try to make like a couple fair ones. And then in the end, it's like all the Giants.
Right.
All the Giants. Like
you start out doing with a fair one.
Yeah. You always kind of do like one fair one. Then you're like, okay, now it's time to mess around. So, yeah, that was cool. That was kind of the fun, like doing that at the ballpark.
I remember doing that with my buddy, like, you know, because we didn't have stuff on our phone. You know, I don't even think I had a cell phone at that point. So we didn't have anything on our phone. So I would just bring a paper. So, you know, bring a newspaper so I could see these guys' stats as we were going, and then go, all right, this guy deserves poke the hole. This guy deserves poke the hole, you know, like that. And like you said, you do like two fair ones, you know, like, well, this guy deserves to be in and this guy doesn't, blah, blah, blah. Like I remember specifically voting for Tony Womack before he was on the D-backs, you know, when he was on the Pirates. So, Todd Helton, you'd always have to vote for Todd Helton at first base back in that time, you know, all that stuff. But all-star voting, it's fun, and there's still time to vote because we'll get the last guy on the roster Twitter vote. And, of course, we'll be talking about that here. But we're going to take a break, so stick with us. We'll be back to talk probably a little football. So it's In This League on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries. I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and smoking the
weed. In This League.
Break it down.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. Joined by Casey Bubba. At BD Entrick. Now, Bub, did you see the Welsh and I talked about it a little bit earlier, but on the HBO show that Tom Brady was on, the you're gonna stick with that mother effer, I'm gonna come back and F you up. Tom Brady, like, he's got that fire, man. He seems laid back and cool and everything, but he's probably one of the most fiery competitors ever, right?
Yeah, you don't get to be that good as a seventh round pick and win that many times. I don't care what kind of dynasty New England builds. You're not that good of a player for this long without having some fire inside your belly like that. So there's always a chip on your shoulder. That's why you guys like Peyton Manning. He's always first one in, last one out. They always want to be better. They always want to win. Like Peyton, when the Colts let him down, he wanted to win another title. He won the title, retired. Brady's the same way. He left. He won his title. He's like, you know what? This team's good enough to win some more. So we're going to win some more. But he thinks he's good enough to pretty much be better than almost any quarterback out there. So he's gonna remember those kind of things. And I'd really hate to be that team.
Yeah, it was. I mean, from what we saw, it sounds like it was the Raiders and Derek Carr. And it wasn't even like it's funny because, you know, you watch The Last Dance and you see MJ and I took that personally and all that kind of stuff. Right. So it's funny because it's almost the same deal here where, you know, they didn't even say that they didn't want you. They just didn't go after you. They didn't pursue you. And you use that as, you know, as motivation. I mean, you can use anything as motivation. I'm not against that. But, you know, as long as it's solely for motivation and it's not for I'm actually angry at the Raiders and their whole organization because they didn't try to sign me. You know, you say, all right, you think you're going to stick with Derek Carr and he's going to be better than me? I'll just take the Bucks and win the Super Bowl. No big
pretty
deal.
Much.
But Welsh and I talked about that earlier. I just had to get your opinion on it because it's, you know, that is peak offseason nonsense is what I'll say is when we're listening to Tom Brady talk about the teams that didn't sign him last year. It's like, okay, well, the Bucs signed him, guys, and he went and won the Super Bowl. It's more amazing than going over the Raiders not signing him. But I wanted to do some voting. I wanted to look over some bets with you. Welsh and I did we looked at, you know, the odds on making the playoffs for some teams. We went over some bets we did like and didn't like. You know, they just had to be big odds. These ones aren't like that. They're all going to have decent odds. And it's, you know, if you go to FanDuel Sportsbook, they already have season specials. And it's, you know, it's three of them. And the first one is rushing or passing yards. Second one's rushing yards. Third one is receiving yards. So, it's a landslide. Everything's plus here. So you're going to be making money regardless of, you know, how much you put down. You're going to be in the plus. You're going to be tripling up at the least your money, even if you vote for Patrick Mahomes, who is the leader here at plus 310. Dak Prescott is second at plus 500. Josh Allen at plus 850. You have Tom Brady at plus 950. Justin Herbert comes in fifth at plus 1200. Matt Ryan at plus 1300. Rodgers at plus 2,000, Stafford at plus 2,000, and then it just gets, you know, exponentially bigger at that point, plus 3,100 for Trevor Lawrence, and then way higher after that. Is Patrick Mahomes just the easiest bet ever, or would you rather bank on maybe a Dak Prescott, you know, looking at his four games last year and seeing how he was on pace to throw for 6,000 crazy yards and all that crap? Or do you think is there someone else in particular that you like the longer odds on and you would pick to lead the league in passing yards?
Like, Mahomes looks super simple, don't get me wrong, and it makes a lot of sense. I think Dak's a great option because I think that team's gonna throw a ton. But if you want to have some fun, you want to try to win some money, big money, there's two guys that kind of stand out to me here. One's Matt Ryan at plus 1300 because that team's gonna throw like crazy because they're gonna have to. The other one, before he tore his ACL, was Joe Burrow at plus 3,400. They are going to throw all day in Cincinnati yet again. So I think Joey Burrow at plus 34 is a nice long shot chance. I think Matt Ryan's kind of the better chance without taking the favorites. But Joe Burrow at plus 3,400 stands out as a potential fun one right there.
Yeah, I mean, I like both those that you picked there. Matt Ryan in particular, you know, look, Matt Ryan throws a ton anyway. They did get Mike Davis, so the run game should be improved, which is nice. And the defense should be better, but it's still not, I mean, you know, it doesn't look good is what I'll say, you know, without being completely insulting here. It does not look good, you know. So I think Matt Ryan's a good bet. Here's one that I am just blown away that this guy is not in the top here. And even reading them off, I didn't realize it when I went back to look at, you know, a little deeper on the field, Kyler Murray at plus 4,100. I mean, look, I'm a Steelers fan. I know you guys know I'm from Arizona and everything. I live in Arizona, but I'm a Steelers fan. You know, my dad and grandfather and the whole side of my dad's family, all from Pittsburgh, all, you know, Steelers fans. We all bleed black and gold. So I'm not an Arizona Cardinals fan. This has nothing to do with homers. I'm also, you know, I was born in Houston. Half of my family is Aggies fans. Half of them are Longhorns fans. I'm a Longhorn fan. So I do not like Oklahoma at all. So I am not going to sit here and tell you that a quarterback from a college team that I despise going to a team I don't care about in Arizona, you know, you can't call me a homer for that. Kyler Murray, this is what they do in Arizona with under Cliff Kingsbury. They pass all the time. The run game is weird. Chase Edmonds and James Conner, you know, two guys. James Conner has proved he can't stay healthy, and we've never seen Chase Edmonds carry the load. So they're definitely going to split. Murray's still going to get rushing yards, but their defense, while improved, and it is much improved, I should say that. They added J.J. Watt. You know, they're going to have Simmons play for a whole year on the inside. Zaven Collins, when he's not getting DUIs, is going to be good up the gut for Arizona. But they are going to have to play point for point with a bunch of these teams. And they have some high-powered offenses in this division, too. You have, I almost said St. Louis, L.A. with the Rams and Matt Stafford improving them with Sean McVay. You still have Seattle and let Russ cook. And you have the Niners who, you know, look, Jimmy G is going to be able to throw the ball. And if he can't, Trey Lance will. So these offenses should all be good. You got six games against those teams. I can't believe Kyler Murray is a long shot at plus 4,100. So that one's kind of easy to me. I think my easy bet right now is Kyler Murray. So that, you know, just because of the long odds. I mean, look, Patrick Mahomes is an easy bet and you can triple up your money. But, you know, any of these guys at this point right now, you know, any of them could get hurt, specifically Joe Burrow, Bubba. But we'll see. Let's go to the rushing yards leaders. And I mean, no doubt that it's kind of easy to pick the first one is Derrick Henry at plus 450. Christian McCaffrey comes in second at plus 600. A little surprising to me because if this was all-purpose yards, he would be easy. But I don't know about rushing yards. Dalvin Cook at plus 600. Nick Chubb at plus 850. Cam Akers at plus 1,100. Jonathan Taylor also at plus 1,100. Antonio Gibson over some big names here at plus 1,600. Tied with Joe Mixon and Saquon Barkley. And then after that, you get in the 2,400 plus for everybody else in the field. But I mean, Derrick Henry at plus 450 quadrupling up seems like a fairly easy bet here.
It's very hard not to just take Derrick Henry and take your plus 450. As long as he doesn't get hurt, he should get that pretty easily. If you want to take a little longer shot, like I don't like too many big, big long shots like we do at quarterback, but I think a healthy Saquon Barkley at plus 1600 is very live, very, very live. They're going to want to run the ball a ton there. We've seen how explosive he can be and rack up the yards when healthy. So I think Barkley at plus 1600 is quite interesting, but this is one of those where I just kind of want to take like a plus 450 Derrick Henry on this one and kind of walk away. I guess you can make an argument for Dalvin Cook, but they still want to have like a 1B or a 2A back there where Henry's the guy. So give me Henry.
Right. Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, this one is easier to kind of nail down than the passing one. It's Derrick Henry. Like you at least, let's say you have five units, whatever your unit is, you know, 5 to 50,000, whatever. You have five units to put on the leading rusher. Four of them go on Derrick Henry. And then you pick one long shot. You know, that's kind of how I see it. I'm right there with you, Bub. Especially when you're quadrupling up your money. Yeah, you got to wait till January to collect. But, you know, like you said, Derrick Henry stays healthy. Seems like a fairly easy bet to go with Derrick Henry. I think my long shot, if I had to take one, I kind of like John Taylor at plus 1,100. You know, he's just a guy that you're not going to be able to take off the field like Derrick Henry really soon. So I think that's an easy one as well. Let's go to the wide receivers. And, you know, and it's funny because this guy is set to lead the league in passing yard or receiving yards. But like I said, Kyler Murray was plus 4,100, you know, below like the top nine passers. DeAndre Hopkins at plus 750, best odds to lead the league in receiving yards. Stephon Diggs at plus 800 is second. Then we have Calvin Ridley at plus 1,000, Tyreek Hill at plus 1,200, DK Metcalf plus 13, Devontae Adams plus 13, Michael Thomas, Travis Kelce, both also plus 13, and then AJ Brown, Justin Jefferson to round it out at plus 1,400. Receiving yards is difficult. This is a very, very hard one to pin down. But do you have one that you like out of that group, or maybe go deeper down in the field?
Yeah, Hopkins is fine. Makes tons of sense. I think Devontae Adams, especially if Rodgers comes back, is a great one. But if I'm going to go down the field here, because it's pretty wide open at the receiver position, and if we believe that Matt Ryan is a great choice, Julio Jones at plus 2,400. I know he can be hurt at times, but if he stays, he's not even with the Falcons anymore.
Julio Jones is on the Titans.
It totally just dawned on me. That's why he's 2,400.
Ridley's plus 1,000. How about Calvin Ridley then?
Calvin Ridley. I like that. That's another one, because if they're going to throw that much, if we were both on Matt Ryan as a choice, then Calvin Ridley, I think, is a great choice. No wonder Julio's 2,400. You dumb dumb. I just saw that, like, idiot. But yeah,
No, I got you. You know, it happens. But I mean, I tell you one that I like here. And look, Hopkins is my number one. Like, you plus 750. That's great odds. I love the bet on Kyler Murray. Like, you know, you pair those up, you're going to make some decent money, in my opinion. Obviously, all of these are long shots and everything. But how about, you know, we talked about how Dak could lead the league in passing too. We kind of skipped over him somewhat simply. But, you know, it's a lot of the same stuff that we talked about with the Cardinals. Your offense is really good and high powered, and your defense sucks. Should be better, but it's still not great. I don't know that they're going to pull themselves into the top half of the NFL. I'm not saying it's impossible. I just wouldn't expect it. But let's go to CeeDee Lamb at plus 2,600. And I think he's actually the worst odds among Dallas Cowboys pass catchers too. I don't think, dude, I don't even think we have Amari. Oh, no, what?
He's
Amari
plus Cooper's 1900.
Plus 1,900. So yeah. Amari is actually the leader. But I think Lamb at plus 2,600 is a great, great option. So those are the ones I would take. But we got to go to break. When we come back, we will end out the three-hour tour. You know what? There's some bets on who's going to play quarterback week one for four different teams. So we will go over those when we come back. Stick with us. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends
in the... In This League.
In the dark.
You guys here, Endless Love, you know what that means. It's the end of the three-hour tour of In This League on Sports Grid. Like I said before, please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. We've got all kinds of goodies there for you. And also, you know, follow us all on Twitter at Bogman Sports for me, at Is It the Welsh, at BD Entrick for Bubba. And Bub, we've got some week one quarterback starting odds. I love this. I love the weird bets. And this is one, I mean, we can bet in July on who is going to be starting in September, week one. And you get some good odds here. And, you know, the four teams are the Broncos, Pats, Saints, and Niners. And I think the Broncos is probably the most hotly contested because They have the same odds. Drew Locke and Teddy Bridgewater, both at plus 145. Any other is plus. I love that any other is plus 2,200, but Brett Rypien is plus 1,600. Like anyone's going to bet. Did Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke both get hurt in the preseason? But I mean, if you have to pick between Drew and Teddy, who are you going to go with?
Yeah, it's like they said, if these two guys are out, we're going to get someone else instead of you, Britt. That's just how it's going to go. But yeah, I'll take Teddy B. They went and got him for a reason. I think they want to use him as the quarterback. So I'm going to go Teddy B, and Drew Locke's going to have to find a time to prove himself.
And I guess any other could apply to Aaron Rodgers or Sean Watson. Exactly. I mean, come on. New England. New England, here we have longer odds. It's minus 185 for Newton, plus 170 for Mac. I'm still going to go Cam Newton.
Yeah, I'm still going to go Cam unless something really crazy happens in the start of preseason. Go Cam.
Yeah, New Orleans. This one is also interesting because Winston is minus 280. Taysom Hill is plus 220. They put Ian Book and Trevor Siemian in here. Like, I mean, only one of those two is going to make the roster. But I think for me, I still think it's Jameis. You know, I read some interesting stuff over the weekend. We talked about it in quarterback facts about Taysom. But for me, it's still Jameis.
I want it to be Jameis, but I'm going to go with Taysom. They take the plus odds. They paid him the money. Let's go Taysom on this one. Follow the money, folks.
This one shouldn't be in here, but Jimmy G minus 320, Trey Lance plus 240. That's going to be Jimmy G.
Yeah, it's Jimmy G for sure.
Yeah, and I'm a little surprised that the Bears aren't on here. Wouldn't be surprised if they get added at some point with Justin Fields. But that is it for today. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we will see you next week. Take it easy.